This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own, necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See you live off the record with Siobhan Golang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bahamar, Central Bank, City of Hope, Epic Battery, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, Southwest Plaza, and Star General Insurance Made Simple.
Yes, I would, if I could. I would teach you all the things I've never learned, and I'd help you cross the bridges that I burned. Yes, I would, if I could. I would try to shield your innocence from time. But the part of life I gave you is in mine. You grow so I can let you go. If I could, I would help you make it through years. But I know that I can never cry your tears, babe. But I won't if I could. If I could, in a time and place where you don't wanna be, you don't have to walk along this road with me. My yesterday won't have to be. More than I can do, but I would if I could. If I could, I would try to shield your innocence from time, but the part. Through the 100 years, but I know that I can never cry your tears. But I would if I
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96 on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Producer, I got some echo going on. If you could help me with that, please. If today you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Well, we got a bit to do today, starting with a special guest I have to talk about event coming up and almost every year. Actually every year for last, from its inception, we've been engaged with this charity on doing the important work that it's doing. And so we're speaking with Mrs. Raquel Robinson from Cleft of the Rock Foundation that has its annual Save the Village, Restore the Village, and all that kind of stuff in relation to parenting on purpose. And
good, Shivago. Thank you for having us on. Hello, can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, awesome. Hi,
thank you for having us on. Can you hear me?
Yes.
No, it's a pleasure. The work that Cleft of the Rock Foundation is doing is an important work. I don't know how much you keep up with what is happening here in the Bahamas, but I know you do what's going on in the United States of America, and there's so many things that are happening, good and not so good, that relate to the involvement or lack of involvement, the capability or lack of capability of parents, their ability to lead, to guide, nurture their children in this important enterprise of family. And you know, this is one of those things, we don't come to the planet with any manual or pre-deposited AI with much of it. We have to come to learn. We have some instinctual things we do, but we have some things that we could learn that could help us do better. So talk to us first of all about Cleft of the Rock, what it does precisely.
Yeah, for sure. So just to introduce myself a little bit better, my name is Raquel Robinson. As you said, I am the vice president of Cleft of the Rock, and I've been with the organization since 2018. And that was before I was married, before I had children. Something just gravitated me towards the organization, towards our founder, Dr. Latina Lightborn. And here I am, seven, almost, or 8 years later, and I'm married now with two children, a two-year-old, and I am currently a stay-at-home mom, and I volunteer my time with Cleft of the Rock. And one of the reasons that I was attracted to Cleft of the Rock was their mission and what we are trying to envision for the upcoming generations, which is we believe that, Cleft of the Rock, we believe that we have been entrusted to build our society up from its core, which is the family. So our organization provides the tools needed to parent children in all aspects while providing parent education. And one of the ways that we provide the parent education is through the Parenting on Purpose workshop. That is a 9-week video workshop that was created by Dr. Bob Barnes here in the United States. He's actually in Florida. And we facilitate the workshops. So we offer them virtually throughout the course of 9 weeks for 2 hours on Zoom. We also provide the Parenting on Purpose weekend retreat, which is instead of doing it over the course of 9 weeks, we condense the program into a 3-day weekend. And for the last 3 years, We've done that retreat in Freeport, Bahamas at the Pelican Bay Hotel. And then another format that we offered is in person, offering it in the form of a extended retreat, an intensive is what we call it. So it'd be like Wednesday through Saturday in person. You get your group together and we go and facilitate the course within this period of a week, also condensed, where if, you know, a lot of people hear 9 weeks and they feel like they can't commit for that length of time. So we've worked around other ways to offer the program in a shorter length of time so everyone can get the information the same way as you would virtually over the 9 weeks, but just in a quicker form. And one of the things that we do specifically for the Bahamas to help us spread our mission and awareness of who we are and what we do is host the annual Rebuilding the Villages Golf Tournament. So I know that's what you like to talk about a lot, Shivargo. So that is going to be on Sunday, October 5th at the Royal Blue Golf Club at Bahamar. And we're still accepting registrations. And we already have a few sponsors and teams that have committed to our cause. Those would be Fidelity Bank, Track Group, Magrafil Security Group, Craven, Keystone, GastroCare Bahamas, and Donald E. Thompson and Associates. And of course, always Guardian Radio and Z Live that host us every year or every so often so that we can promote our events and things like that. So we do thank everybody for your support. Still time to register and participate as a player in the golf tournament or become one of our whole sponsors or just make a donation in general towards the organization. So you can do that by visiting our website. It's cleftoftherockfoundation.org. Again, that's cleftoftherockfoundation.org. And you can find more information about the golf tournament by scrolling down to the bottom. You'll see where it says upcoming events. And if you click on the RSVP link, it'll take you to the registration form. So the format is a foursome, a four-man scramble with the shotgun start of 9 a.m. And so you can register for your team, four people, or you can register as an individual, and then we would match you up with a team. So I know Shivargo's played with us before, so he can give you a little bit more information on what it looks like on the player's side.
I know you said I like to talk about the golf tournament. I don't like to talk about but the golf tournament, you have to give them the history of the golf tournament. And the history of the golf tournament, my team won the golf tournament the first time it was held. So I haven't been a champion. I haven't been a champion in any sport in my life. But that golf tournament, that's in my history. And it's a wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to not just golf, but golf with a particular noble purpose, you know, because the theme of the golf tournament is rebuilding the village, because as I understand it, Cleft of the Rock has a concept that it believes is important to the parenting enterprise, which is that it takes a village to raise a child, which is an old African proverb, right? And I think something right. That any Bahamian, particularly those who are the traditional Bahamian parenting, understands is that we didn't grow up isolated with just our parents, single or dual. We grew up with our grandparents, our great-grandparents, in some instances with our aunts and our uncles and our cousins. And pretty much every adult in our neighborhood, even the neighbors, had a role to play in our upbringing and could participate in that upbringing, even to the point of discipline. So that's a theme around the golf tournament, right?
Right, yeah. So it's to bring back awareness of being in community, having a village. And it's not, like you said before, we had built-in villages where it was your family, your extended family, whether it was your grandparents, your aunts, uncles, cousins, Everyone would come together, live within a certain community. These days, it's not so much like that. A lot of people, because of work or lifestyle, whatever the case may be, they end up moving away from their immediate family. So sometimes you have to recreate your village. So it might be friends that you meet, other parents that have similar goals like you that are within the community where you currently live. So it's about shifting that mindset that just because I'm not around my family, I don't have a village, and getting people to actively and intentionally build their village with what and who is around them.
Now, I am not an avid golfer, but the people who have participated in this golf tournament that is hosted by Cleft of the Rock have raved about it. They have really, in some instances, indicated it's the best organized, tournament that they'd seen. I mean, the treatment, you get breakfast, you get a package of gifts, really, and they're really useful gifts. And the lunch is really a wonderful lunch. And then you have that beautiful facility there at Bahama Golf Course, Royal Blue. And then what I noticed was the camaraderie. I mean, like, of course, people are competitive, but man, it's like, it's fun, it's relaxing. People hang around even after the tournament for all of the awards and presentations, and then they hang around and they hang around. And I am amazed at how many people, once they hear about what Cleft of Rock is all about, then, you know, some of them commit for a longer period of time. Some of them they're just enamored with what the offering is. And so tell us who can participate in the tournament, because some people might be sitting in there going, you know, I'm not expert golfer, but I have just started, or I'm an intermediate. Who can participate?
Everybody can participate. So our first golf tournament, we even had junior golfers, so kids that were maybe getting into the sport or their parents played or participated in the tournament, they came and participated as well. We formed a junior team. So it's for anybody that, or you don't have to know how to golf. Or you can be an expert golfer. We have a few that are very competitive, and every year they come back with the intention of winning the first place. So it's for everybody. This isn't like a competitive sporting event. It's a charitable event. So it's to help us raise awareness. So we want any and anybody to come and golf with us. If you want to tag on with a team that maybe they're good at golfing and they can teach you or take you along, you can do that. In the past, we had a couple that didn't know anything about golfing, and they, you know, enjoyed their time swinging the golf clubs and riding around the course and just being there for the award ceremony, which, like you mentioned before, we do have a lunch buffet that we serve during that time. So while we're presenting the awards, everybody comes back from golfing, and they enjoy a lovely buffet inside the air-conditioned clubhouse. So it's a great way to end the day. And before, we also provide a goodie bag with a lot of useful gifts. We give away golf shirts. We give away, every year we have like one signature gift that we give to the players. In the past, we've had like an umbrella that each player received. I believe last year we gave like a golf cooler bag. So for those that are active golfers, they have a cooler bag that they can bring with them every year or every time they go out to play with their beverages and keep them cool. Or if, you know, you don't golf, it's a cooler, so you can use it for any occasion. So we do try to keep that in mind, that we want people to reuse these gifts, to have our name on them, so that anytime they're out, somebody asks them, oh, what's Cleft of the Rock? They can tell them who we are, what we do, and help spread more awareness of who we are.
Just to make your point, and they say confession is good for the soul, so let me confess So the team I was on, you know, I, Cheval, was Sean Lang, and others. We were amateurs. So a couple of us. We had intermediate regular golf player in the person of Anthony Ferguson, who, of course, you know, started Guardian Radio and who's the president of CFAL. And so he golfed with us. But he golfs. So, you know, not an expert, but he golfs and he's pretty good. And then we had an expert. I mean, one of the Bahamas' best with us. And to be honest with you, the only reason why we won was because I carried him. Yeah, y'all weren't expecting that ending like that, right? So we had a mix of experts and novices like myself. I had never golfed on a course before. My father was an avid golfer and so forth. And it was just great. We even had some sessions in advance where the expert was, giving us some tips, et cetera. And so I learned some things in golf. And so, and it was a beautiful experience. People do it. You can do it with your kids. You can do it with your colleagues and all that kind of stuff. And it's just a great quality, noble, participating in something that we should all be promoting, which is parenting and the rebuilding of a village that helps parenting happen with greater efficacy and efficiency. And of course, I can tell you, the founder of Cleft of the Rock, Dr. Latina Lightburn, is absolutely dedicated and committed to parenting, not only as a matter of the parenting on purpose activities, but just personally, I just someone who believes in it deeply and profoundly. And I can tell you, as someone who's participated in the Parenting on Purpose 9-week course, I learned from it, and I had 4 children. And you know what I found, Raquel, unique is you are unique because you started out working with Cleft of the Rock, unmarried, with no kids. And so you got to see the training up close and personal before that. And then you experienced it as a parent and so forth. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. So I would highly recommend that anybody that if you have the slightest thought in your head that you want to become a parent, to take the course. It was absolutely game changer for me because now I knew that I wanted a certain outcome or I wanted to bring up my children a certain way. But other than do what your parents did, I didn't have a guidebook or any kind of inclination on how I was supposed to become that parent or raise these children that were going to become responsible adults. Because a lot of the times you say, oh, well, I turned out okay. But you don't really know the roadmap that your parents took to get you to where you are. And when you become a parent, it's very eye-opening and you realize how challenging it is in many different ways. And if you don't have a plan and if you're not intentional, many things can happen that take you off course. One of the main things is consistently being tired. And it's like, if you don't have a plan in place, you being tired all the time as a parent is going to take precedent. And that is how you're going to parent your children. So it's going to be like, well, let them do whatever they want. I'm too tired to deal with it. We'll deal with it another time. But when you have a plan in place, it's easy to follow the plan, to follow the guide that you have, and to remember what your goal is in mind. So that's some of the things that the Parenting on Purpose workshop helps you with, is realizing maybe some of the areas that you weren't parented in, or some of the things that you want to teach your children that maybe you weren't taught as a child and you had to learn the hard way as an adult. So you are able to recognize those things. That's one. One of the sessions in the workshop actually guides you to creating what are the goals that you want for your children when they're adults. How do you see them as an adult? So you have to think about this from now. What is it that you want to see in your children? So having those goals in mind, having then going through the program and realizing, you know, these things don't just happen. Like, you have to be consistent. You have to implement certain things, and it's a everyday thing. And you, and also understanding that your children are going to push back on those things, that it's not just because you say so, they're going to do it. It's you are expecting that they're going to give you pushback and how to push through those challenging moments as a parent. So for me, it was definitely a game changer. And for me, it was definitely about recognizing what I needed to fix with myself before I was able to teach my children these things. So I highly recommend it. Even if you don't have kids, or maybe you don't plan on having kids, it's good for yourself as a personal development tool to use as well.
Okay, so once again, let's get the dates of the tournament and where people can go to sign up.
It's going to be Sunday, October 5th at the Bahamar Royal Blue Golf Club. And they can register at our website. They can find the registration form. And our website is cleftoftherockfoundation.org. And I'll spell it out. It's cleft, C-L-E-F-T, oftherockfoundation.org. And then if you scroll down to the bottom, you'll see upcoming events. You'll see a flyer for the golf tournament. And if you click on the link that says RSVP today, you'll be taken to the registration form where you can fill it out. The registration form is for everyone, whether you want to register to be a player, if you want to register to become a sponsor, or if you just want to make a donation, you can fill out the form and then we'll reach out to you with what the next steps will be.
Okay, so thank you very much, Raquel, and all the best to you and the organization in the upcoming tournament. Maybe we'll hear from you again soon before the tournament.
Maybe. Thank you for having us.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago, and I'm your host. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Now let me see now. 326 ETIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckin Battery? This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326 Epic. We ship also to the Family Island.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
As a healthcare professional, do caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Marcus Samuelson, Dario Zucchini, Simeon Hall Jr., and Scott Conant, alongside a vibrant lineup of chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. From curated tasting events to beachfront feasts and immersive gallery experiences, this is more than a festival. It's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Tobago, your host. So glad you could join us now. Producer, let me know if we are okay with the sound, please, because let me know if we're okay. If you want to give us a call today on the show, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Of course, you can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We may have a little bit of a background noise, but we'll see. But we'll let the producer let me know what's going on before we move much further. Okay, all right. Sis doing okay? Okay, well, no problem. I was reading with some interest the story coming out of Long Island, an unfortunate story about the experience that a young man had in having to transport his mother.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons. surveillance?
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about ready on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. Stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, letting you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. They're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call on 323-6232, that's 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Before we went to the break, I started to talk about the incident in Long Island, which I think has many aspects to be discussed. I mean, we can talk about Family Island needs. We can talk about expectations in terms of what the government can provide and should provide. We can talk about resources that are required to provide those things and the restraint and limitations on those resources. But what captured my attention, which I'm sure captured many of your attention, was the notion, the reporting that when it was necessary to transport the mother to the airport for emergency airlift. Now, I can only tell you how the reading from the report in The Guardian went. The question was asked, I think, by the son, would you like me to drive the ambulance? And the answer was, the key for the ambulance is not at the clinic. The key for the ambulance was not at the clinic. And so what ended up happening was the mother was transported to the airport in an open truck, on the back of an open truck, in the rain. Now, anyone who has a parent or someone they love, or anyone who cares about people would think, that is not good. That is awful to experience. But, like, I think an explanation is owed about whether or not, in fact, that incident happened as reported, and what was the situation with the ambulance functioning, particularly in relation to the keys? I don't know. I don't know. I'll keep you late waiting. Go ahead, call me.
How are you doing, Mr. Lang?
Good, man. Good, and you?
I'm okay. Listening to you for the last 2 days, find your topics are very interesting. This topic about the family, I think a lot needs to be done in the area of health care, on the family island and delivering proper health care for far too long we've been hearing about these incidents happen, not just because this prior one, but it's been happening in the past where persons were made to either come on the back of the truck or do some kind of stuff to get some emergency effect for some kind of relief and come to health care on the family islands. But what I want to call you about, what struck me, well, you said something interesting yesterday, and I find it, I don't know if it's appealing to talk about it right now as you're talking about something else, but with the immigration, with the visas, that was really, really mind-boggling yesterday, and it came to fruition when I heard a U.S. chauffeur came out on Dwight's show this morning, and she said something that I find really interesting and put the Bahamas in a catch-220 situation. Because I'm trying to find out that if the stuff that they're saying that when the patients come into the Bahamas, they are cleared with a visa to come into the Bahamas to apply for American visa. And the Bahamas government said that they will not facilitate that based on if they come into the Bahamas for American visa. She said something this morning that based on the three conditions, whether you're a diplomat, an athlete, or you have a family away, that they would facilitate these things. But my question to you, if the persons don't come in and say that they're coming in for a visa, they're coming in on a vacation, can they still do business-wise there in the Bahamas on that vacation? Ask them to say, why is I'm here for 1 or 2 days or for a week or two? Can I still apply on my vacation for an American visa?
You can apply but remember the application is a online process, right? So if you can get to a computer and you want to apply, that doesn't mean you're going to get the interview though, because the interview comes later.
I'm saying, right? Even though it's so, what happens if they get the interview? They get the visa. They're the good persons that want to go back home now and travel back to the state. Do they have flights that go into the United States that go back into America, or would they have to come back into the Bahamas if they want to get into the Bahamas?
If you have your visa, if you're a Haitian national, you got your visa. Now you didn't get it right after the interview. You got your visa.
Mm-hmm.
It's normally returned, as I understand it now, to DHL or wherever. Whatever the case is, as long as you have your visa, where you travel to the United States from is irrelevant.
No, I'm just saying to you, I'm putting like this. Do the United States have flights that still go into Haiti after you would have gotten your visa canceled out?
Oh, I don't know.
You got your visa, you went back home, now you want to travel to the States. How do you go about traveling? So would you have to come back into the Bahamas, get a connecting flight to go to America?
Yeah, I don't know what airlines fly from Haiti directly into the United States. I suspect they may still have flights, but I don't know.
Okay, because I feel like kind of confusing if they would have gotten there.
But that should be easy to find out. That you could just go Google flights from Haiti to the U.S. You could Google that and find that out.
All right. Why ask the question? I'm just saying, what happened if the person would have gotten there, mm-hmm. I would have come to the Bahamas and bought a ticket to go to America, and I would have stayed away long, and the immigration would have gotten them away. Would they have been transferred back the way if they have bought their ticket or back to their homeland?
No, but you don't. No, it doesn't work like that. If we land you in the Bahamas,
uh-huh.
and for whatever reason you were landed for, nobody is traced when you get landed in the U.S. No one is tracing you.
No, I'm just saying, if you overstayed and the immigration, if you overstayed your time in the States.
If you overstay your welcome and you are caught, then you are prosecuted before the courts in relation to your overstay.
Yeah, that's a different matter. Send you back to where you have bought your ticket from. They send you back to your country, but they send you directly from the States back to Haiti.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.
Okay. Welcome back. All right, so we lost them. If you are, deportation means, as far as I know, you are deported to your country. Now, if you happen to be resident in the Bahamas as a Haitian national or a Canadian national or whatever, and you are deported, then you get deported to your country of residence, right? And if you just got your visa here because that's the process, you're not a resident in the Bahamas, why would the United States deport you to here? Anyway, that's not wasn't what we were talking about. We were talking about the Long Island situation, and what happened there. I would imagine that soon, either the Minister of Health or one of the health officials should be reporting on that incident and what happened, because there's no key for the ambulance. And which raises another question. When you're in the family island, do they have dedicated EMTs? How that works? I don't know what's going on. I am steady. I am still. I am stable. I'm going out. I don't know what else to do. There are lots of people who have really emotional concerns about what happens in our family islands. And sometimes they talk about it, but I think a level of simplicity that ignores the real challenge of, are we still having audio issues? You're listening, are we still having? All right, it's good for now. Okay. But I'm getting some folks saying intermittent. The issue is it good for now? That's the issue, because I'm staying right here where I am, so I can't even move, and I'm in a stable environment. So that's good. This text says they would send you back to your country of. Oh, no, I'm not going back to immigration no more. I'm not going back to immigration. I'm talking about the health and medical circumstances around what happened in Long Island. Okay, that's what I'm talking about right now. Right? And I'm trying to understand how a response to, do you need me to drive the ambulance, becomes, we don't have the key here. I'm trying to understand why you need someone to drive the ambulance in the first place, because I'm asking whether or not we actually supply, train, provide the EMT personnel for operating an ambulance. We have caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Brother Line. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Brother Line,
hey,
good afternoon.
Hey, what's up?
Good man. I am not here to talk no politics today. I'm talking as a nationalist today. Long Island, I am surprised. You know, Long Island is one, I call it, between Long Island and Spanish Fields, are two of our most independent countries we have. You know, Long Island people don't ask you for much thing, like Spanish Fields
people.
Yeah,
yeah, independent islands, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But Long Island had a, that was donated, I think, by the phone company, right? Now, and then the government just sent another ambulance there for last year sometime. You can tell me from 2020 or from last year, they don't have somebody in Long Island. We're talking about Long Island now. We're not talking, not downgrading no other country, no other island. I say Auckland because I'm originally from Auckland. We're not talking about Auckland. We're talking about independent people. You can tell me from 2020 to 2025, you can't find somebody that can drive an ambulance. You don't need no skill to drive an ambulance. If you could drive
who is responsible for providing medical services to these islands?
The Ministry of Health.
Okay, so you are asking the Ministry of Health if it could not, by this stuff, provide EMT personnel. Okay, just want to make sure.
You have a nurse there.
Okay, you have a nurse and you have a doctor. You have an ambulance.
And you have an ambulance. Yeah, and you have the ambulance. You don't have one tow.
Yeah.
You have two.
Right.
Okay.
So,
and you're going
to
tell me
yeah.
no
so your question, your question, like mine, to the Ministry of Health is what happened, right? Like, why is there what happened with the key? And then two, what about EMT personnel?
I understand what you're saying with EME personnel, like what you have, like in Nassau. But we're talking now of a lady on the back of a truck. The same person that was driving that truck to the airport could have driven that ambulance to the airport if you had the key for the ambulance.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Now, you and I might say that.
Yes, sir.
But we don't know the rules that govern the use of EMT equipment. We don't know that, including the ambulance.
Mr. Lang, but allow me to say this, please, Mr. Lang. I'd like to have this conversation with you. Please don't cut me. You, the person on the back of the truck, back of the truck is on the back of the truck. The person that is driving the truck is driving the truck. The person who's driving the truck has nothing to do as far as concern of oxygen, needle, blood, whatever, of the person at the back of the truck.
That's not the point. Here's the point. If I put you and I give you permission to go and and something happens while you are using it, who is culpable? Who's liable?
What is something that happened with the person who is driving the truck? With the person on the back of the truck. It's just as wide as a
No, but that's different. No, but that's different. That's not a public asset.
How is it different, brother?
It's not a public facility. What's that?
Is the truck a... You cut out just now. Would you say it?
No, I'm saying the truck is not a public asset. It's not a part of the public health equipment inventory.
I understand what you're saying, you know. I understand where you're going with this, but understand what I'm saying. In a case of emergency, and I am in need of an ambulance.
Yeah, but what I'm telling you is, here's the difference between you and I. Here's the difference between you and say, oh, in the case of the emergency, they should have done this. I don't know what their protocols are, and I'm asking the question. What
but
are the protocols?
How much 100 men and women you take on Long Island that can drive? You can tell me not one of them had gone and equipped themselves to operate
Equip themselves. You just finished saying it's the Ministry of Health responsibility to provide the EMT personnel. Why would I go and equip myself to do that?
That's a job.
That's a job?
Yes, sir.
All right, bro. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'm sure them people in Long Island feel just inspired by you because it's a job. People do jobs they want to do, right? That's not how it works. The Ministry of Health finds people who may be equipped with certain talents and gifts to work within the public health system, or they may be trained that way. You can't sort of sit around and say, well, why didn't somebody in Long Island go train and equip themselves? I mean, yeah, maybe somebody could have thought about it as an opportunity and so forth. But I mean, come on, man. That's not a here nor there in relation to what has happened to date. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, be listening.
Good afternoon, Z. Yeah, hi, caller, go ahead. Come on, Julian, man. Give me a break, man.
I don't understand that reasoning, brother. And you know what? Listen to me. He says he don't want to be political, but he was entirely being political.
Exactly. But you right, man.
Because what he was trying to do was blame Long Island. Don't blame the government. Blame Long Island.
Right. Hey, that's special training, like how you say, because if it's a gunshot wound, you got to prep the person before you really move. If it's a car accident, the person break up in the ambulance, you can't just have anyone who gets driving the ambulance come on an accident scene where someone break up, how to get them and how to prep them to get them to the alarm bomb. Come on, Julian, stop talking foolishness, man. And what I'm going to say is, what happened earlier on a different island, I can't remember exactly what island, but when they needed the ambulance, the police had the key, and the ambulance wasn't where the police live. And then the commissioner did address it and say something about the police ain't business driving the ambulance in the first place. And then, like you say, the government, the Ministry of Health, supposed to have ETM services with the ambulance to go because of special training.
I might feel even better if the police was driving the ambulance, because at least they are trained for, they're part of the government machinery and, you know, so forth. But a civilian doing so, I mean, you might allow it to happen because you have to, but that's not as simple as that.
Because the person becoming a cardiac arrest or something like that, and then they got to make the poor sure the person stable and this and that, or having some seizure or stroke or something. Just take any driver, take them, throw them in the back of the ambulance and then speed down to the airport or carry them to the clinic from off the road or via their home.
But
anyone? Come on, I can't wait, man. Not 2025 in the
Bahamas. But the bottom line is, instead of answering and addressing the basic question is, what is the circumstances surrounding the keys for an ambulance on Long Island? We don't know. I'm not blaming anybody. I don't know what the circumstances are. And then secondly, what are the circumstances surrounding personnel to be able to operate the ambulance? We don't know. So this is the question. So
exactly.
Presumably at some
organized.
Point, maybe the Ministry
exactly. right.
of Public
maybe
Health and
else
them
get
will
like
answer the question.
That's
all. Yeah, it ain't no blame game or nothing like that at this point. It's a bad situation. It sounds bad, but we don't know what the facts are. You're asking about? I mean, well, let me tell you something. This election is make people sensitive, you know. we have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon, Bahamas. You know, Mr. Lang,
hey.
I don't care how the cookie crumbles. This is 2025, and we are not supposed to be in this position. The Bahamas is too rich for this. No way. I had family members who were cremated on the airport because they were lighting. That's over 10 years ago. And we still find ourselves in this position. What is the contingency plan for these type of things throughout the family island? It has to be 52 years as an independent country, and we are going through this. And we are tourist destination.
Well, I don't know. First of all, I don't want to get alarmist about it and start going all the way over to what decade it is and so forth. Because think about this for a moment. This reality. It was Long Island. There was a clinic. There was a doctor. There was a nurse. And there was an ambulance. So we're saying this isn't like we're in some backwater situation. If you are in a rural environment in the United States of America, a rural environment in the United States of America, and you have an emergency circumstance, it is not unthinkable that someone might put you in a vehicle and have to drive you to somewhere, maybe half an hour, 2 hours away to get medical attention. That is not unthinkable. And America is in this century and the most developed country on planet Earth.
All right, Mr. Lang. I asked to speak directly with the member of parliament. for Long Island on this same particular issue. And let him tell you his story about an ambulance being donated. An ambulance was donated, you know. And according to him...
However we got the ambulance, the gentleman who was talking about how distressed he was by the situation mentioned not that there wasn't an ambulance, didn't say, oh, but they had to go give us an ambulance. His situation was, where's the key? I had a transform brought my mother in the back of a truck in the rain.
Not only that, this lady had a
stroke.
That's a systems error.
Because we're not talking equipment now. We're not talking equipment. We're talking about system.
Yes, that's why I'm asking, what is the contingency plan for these, for situations like this throughout the family of Ireland? It has to be a plan.
Yeah, I would think so. That's why we're asking the question. But that's why we're asking the question. See, don't say... Listen to me, bro. Let me tell you something. I do not provide this show simply for venting. I don't do that. I'm trying to educate, inform. So here's the thing. You say, what's the contingency plan? You have no idea whether there's a contingency plan and it's not
working.
You can have a contingency plan and it not function. Okay? The question is, what happened? And you don't know that, and I don't.
Look, I spoke with the member of parliament for Long Island. I had a conversation.
Yeah, but what I mean?
Seems as if the system collapsed.
You just finished arguing, ain't no system or ain't no plan. Well, that's what I was just saying. You could have a system, you could have a plan, and it not be executed properly. That is possible. It happens every day.
Yeah, it happens.
So the question is, why and what happened?
The ambulance, no keys. No keys for the ambulance. No one to drive the ambulance. No EMTs down there. I call it a system, right? But it's a recipe for disaster. We need better coordination.
All right.
We need better structure.
I got you, brother. I don't want to repeat the same set of things over and over again. Thanks a lot for calling. Do we have another call on the line?
Yeah, good afternoon.
No?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Hey, what's up?
Lang?
Good, man, right here.
Great. I understand that, when they were talking about these ambulances, I think last year sometime, it was proposed that people from them, they would be trained as EMTs in order to facilitate them driving these ambulances on the family island. Now, how far that has gone, I really don't know. I don't know whether the persons decline or if they have any persons in the fire department or whatever. But that is what I understand that they had proposed as drivers for these ambulances. Right. That's really all that I want to say in regard to that.
Okay, man. Appreciate you calling.
Right.
We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, we have another caller? Okay. All right. This text, actually, let's take our break, producer, right now. We take a break and then we'll come back after the break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host.
Take a stand, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails... and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our Spodian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Daniel Boulud, Marcus Samuelson, Dario Cecchini, and Simeon Hall Jr., alongside mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. And don't miss an electrifying live performance by global superstar Lenny Kravitz, headlining the festival's welcome party on Friday, October 24th, with a concert experience you won't forget. This is more than a festival, it's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage. Bahamar, life spectacular.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host, today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. From the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, where are the keys kept? Who keeps the keys for the ambulance? What is the established protocol for use of the ambulance? That's what we'd like to know, right? That's a sensible question. Set of questions. This text is Mr. Lang. We are a special people. If it's our party in power, we can foolishly explain away anything to absolve our party. Yeah, people do that. Some people do that for sure. This text says they should have multiple keys. Imagine the next excuse is that we lost the keys. So April 22nd, 2021, Member of Parliament for Long Island, Adrian Gibson, MP, accepted an ambulance from Alive on behalf of the people of sea. Yeah. An ambulance doesn't solve a problem if there is not in place the support system to facilitate the proper use of that piece of equipment, right? But we don't know whether anybody was trained from the time 2021, anybody was trained for that, what's the protocol for that, who has the keys. So Adrian Gibson accepted the ambulance, but was the ambulance given to the public health system? See, that's another question. Your MP accepting the keys don't mean anything because your MP is not the government. Your MP is the legislator. It is a government. The government, was it donated to the government? Who is it donated to? Who owns this ambulance? Who's responsible? All of those things matter. I can't blame the doctor and I can't blame the nurse because we don't know what the circumstances are in relation to the ambulance. We have no information, not at all. And had this incident not happened, perhaps we would never have any such information, right? But this is something that might prompt a look at it and therefore get some help. Okay. This text says, lying according to Long Island ambulance, those ambulances are not equipped with facilities in them, so it don't make a difference if they have drivers. Okay, so here's another statement. The ambulance don't have what? Doesn't have a gurney, but doesn't have, exactly. So what is the condition of the ambulance? But it was accepted by the MP. What would the MP know about an acceptable, adequate ambulance? Well, I would assume Alive Inc. give them an inadequate ambulance, but what is Alive? No, I don't know. And you say it's Alive. I don't know that Alive did it, but that's what you say. And now you might be right. I'm not aware of that. Say, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. This is proof that we don't have respect for various professions because I don't know how anyone thinks a civilian is supposed to drive an emergency vehicle. Who will be responsible if an accident happens on the way? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely right, right? And we think it's just like nothing. Just jump inside, go. You know, police officers and them have to be taught how to operate those vehicles at high speeds and in the circumstances that require them to use the police that you could drive, so therefore you drive the car. Same thing with ambulance drivers. They have to know how to navigate the road in high speed in pursuit of an emergency circumstance and so forth. Says, good afternoon. Thank you very much. This is us, what we do with all situations, make silly assertions. Two ambulances now, the government need to put measures in place, or if they have measures, tweak it to work. Absolutely. Find out what's going on. Let's find out what's going on. I'm telling you, I don't want just beef, vent. That's not, there's a place for that, but that's not the whole be-all and end-all of it all. We have not heard anything yet from the government, public health system. And it'd be useful in time to hear from them what happened. But the islands have another issue that really begs a discussion to some degree. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Jude. How are you?
Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon,
hey, what's up?
How are you doing?
Good, man. Hello? How are you?
All right. We don't know all the particulars of the case, but how it works over here, I would think that when you call the police or for an emergency, that the police would notify the EMTs and they would be on the scene. Probably the guy didn't make a report from the police. He probably carried his mom to the clinic by himself.
Right. I think in the first instance, he was expecting or sought the doctor to come to his mom because she was in so much pain. But I agree with you. In our circumstance, like in Grandmama, New Province, etc., if you have an emergency situation, you call 911 and they notify the EMT people, right?
EMTs. And that's who probably had the keys, the guy who, the EMT driver, at the clinic 24/7. I mean, I expect him to be on duty 24/7, but not at the particular clinic or at every clinic. That's kind of impossible for him to do.
Well, but
did he call the police and the police, or did he carry his mom to the clinic by himself? I think that'll have a big part of it to do with it.
Yeah. And this what you point to is exactly what I was getting to next, which is, I mean, like, what are realistic expectations for equipping our islands with public services?
Well, we have the equipment.
This isn't a question of where... this isn't a question of... Sorry?
That'd be a good opportunity for Long Island just to jump in there and take a course on EMP services. You know, you could have more than one driver. I wouldn't expect a driver of the vehicle to leave the stand. No, I think he'll have them with him.
Yeah.
So we could be ready at all times.
Yeah.
Or in a safe in the clinic. You know, that's the best.
All right, I appreciate your call.
In the clinic.
Yeah. All right, man. I appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot. It says, wow, they think 911 works on the islands the way it works here. I don't think he thinks that. I don't think he thinks that. He was just saying how it works here. why not, actually? Why? Other than you don't have the equipment and personnel, why wouldn't it? Couldn't you call 911 in Nassau or Grand Bahama, and they be able, if there is personnel in those islands, to alert them? That's not possible? Like, impediment to that, right? We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, everybody. I think it's on Long Island because, you know, they got local government there. They got a MP there, and they got two armaments there with some of the major, and they can't put it together to put on the road for their youth.
That's a question you could pose. But, I mean, but let's be fair, though. Here in Grand Bahama and in New Providence, are we sitting around talking about, you got MPs and other people, and you don't have us ambulance service and this kind of stuff? Do we do that?
No, but I mean, they got someone in charge of local government who's supposed to whatever the island needs. That's their job, right? Once you got a clinic there, you need an ambulance, you know, if something happens, you need an emergency. That'd be the first priority. And I would just sit there. If they ain't had it, there's a different story to the radio. Thank you.
Oh, man. Can you hear me? Can you hear me when I speak?
No.
Apparently not. Okay. So you can't say they have local government. Local government operates on the basis of an act, the Local Government Act. So you have to ask what powers are given to local government in the act. Local government is not responsible for public health. Local government is not responsible for providing health services to Bahamian citizens. So you can't say they have local government and MPs. MPs are not responsible for that either. That is the responsibility of the central government until it gives that responsibility to local government. So asking about local government and the MP is not a reasonable proposition in this circumstance at all, okay? To the question of whether it should be possible to call 911 and have them dispatch police. Someone says it should be possible indeed. Exactly. But other than if you don't have the equipment and you don't have the personnel, there's nothing that should create an impediment. And wouldn't that be wonderful if every citizen of the Bahamas, everywhere in the Bahamas, under an emergency situation, had the same protocol to appeal to? And I am not sure that this is not. I'm not sure that if you are in Long Island, you can't call 911. I believe you can. Now, whether that works in terms of dispatch, I don't know. I really don't. Let's take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. Pay our respects to our sponsors. And then when we come back, we'll continue and wrap up our conversation. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job, there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair, it's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand. Everybody. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Someone says, it's amazing. When your party is in power and something goes wrong, especially in the Family Islands, blame local government and the opposition MP. Yeah, never talk about the but the reality. Is, well, however we try to play the politics of it, this is how it falls. If you are the central government, and if a matter is your responsibility, where fault happens in relation to your fulfilling that responsibility, it falls on you. FNMP, LP, don't make no difference. You're responsible. And even if something went wrong that wasn't within your control, it is your duty to find out what went wrong, because that is how you will get to fix it so that in the future people aren't confronted with the same issue. That's just the bottom line, man. Say good day, Lang. What used to happen in pre-BTC sale is that each island, 911 and 919, were routed to the local police station on that specific island. Not sure what is in place today. Blessing. So why would BTC sail up to do anything to do with that changing? I can't imagine. The thing about it is we don't know what happens, right? We don't know what happens. So I'm going to try to get some some people who could answer these questions for us. Is that good? I'll try to do that. How things work, man. Now, you know that how things work and how things are supposed to work don't always coincide. That's true in our households. That's true in, you know, but we should be continuously monitoring our stuff so that where there is a gap between how things work and how things ought to work, we are able to breach that gap, right? We want to know how to make it better, you know, and fix it. I hope and trust that the lady in Long Island, I hope and trust she's doing better. I really do. I don't know. I hope that things worked out such that she got the medical help she needs. I could tell you all something, right? Like, I know many of you already know this, man. When you are in medical need, well, listen to me. You are interested in the politics of the moment. You're not interested in anything other than how to restore my health so that I'm not suffering, I'm not in pain, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, like, you don't even, like them people tell you, take your clothes off and stoop up and whatever. You don't care. You trying to get better. You trying to not have the suffering take place that you're experiencing. And so with matters like this, man, throw your politics and put it in the garbage for the moment, man. You can take it up with the garbage after this. Boy, let me tell you something. I don't want to hear no opposition or no PLP coming to give me no partisan view on the matter. That's just, what are the facts? What are the, what happened and what can be resolved from the situation? Now, our family islands have many needs. You know, small populations, can I speak boldly to you guys? Small populations present a unique problem to public finances. They do. Okay? You do not have an unlimited amount of money. You don't. We don't. We act like we do sometimes. We in the Bahamas are absolutely ridiculous to have as many internationally designated airports as we do. You can't find that in no other place. Those restraints. We go quoting but what they're doing in America, et cetera, ignoring the fact that the Bahamas, in many instances, these islands are like rural districts in America. And in those rural districts in America, they have the same kinds of constraints confronting them. Same kinds. Why? Because resources are thin. That's reality. Anyways. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're gonna call it a day. Sorry, I couldn't read some of your texts, but we are plumb out of time. And perhaps tomorrow, if God spares life, we may be able to take up some of your issues then. Y'all have a wonderful evening. We'll talk to you again, God spares life, tomorrow. Do well.